marketing is about value. This is a very complicated world. It's a very noisy world. And we're not going to get a chance to get people to remember much about us. No company. And so we have to be really clear on what we want them to know about us.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. How you doing?
All good. All good. Just in the middle of transitioning our podcast from Podbeans to Spotify. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of podcast admin happening on the side. So bringing you behind the curtains. Yeah, it'll be distributed on Spotify. The reason why we're doing this is because we'll be able to upload videos on Spotify too. Looks like they're doing a ton of things for engagement. They basically, with their platform, they bought Anchor, which was one of the podcast distribution platform that existed before. But they bought this platform, migrated everything, gave it to everyone for free.
It's cool, free.
And they destroyed, like, the platform itself for podcasters is like blowing everyone else out the park, including Apple, which is really shit still to this day. And I wouldn't be surprised if they started to like fix the distribution issue with podcasting, which is that no one discovered podcasts by the means of podcasting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Suggested podcasts and stuff like that.
The same way they suggest playlists and music to people, they could suggest podcasts based on topics. I think they're doing some stuff on education as well, like releasing some courses and shit like that. So I think they're moving into other verticals, and we want to be one of the first to be on it.
And if you're listening to this, you should be able to watch it on a video podcast on Spotify. So look down at your screen and you can see us.
Exactly.
Cheers. Right, so today we are talking to Foti from Growth Mentor. He's the founder of Growth Mentor, which is super cool. I'm sure everybody who is listening to this has heard of it. If not, go and check it out. It is a marketplace effectively for growth specialists. So if you're a business and you have a problem, something to do with growth, then you can go on there and you can find someone who can consult with you or potentially freelance for you. I haven't used it, so we can chat with him about that. Actually, I have used it. We did use it. We used it to get someone with some specific knowledge in the event space. So it was very cool. Worked seamlessly as a business. We can chat with him about that. Oh, Foti said, did you send him the link? Oh, you didn't send him the link?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Did you not send him the link?
No.
Yes. Okay, happened to me twice. So it's two for me, one for you now, I think. That's the count.
Damn, he's going to think we're twats. Well, I'm a twat. There we go. Hey, Foti, sorry about that. It's normally Yo that does the all of the outreach and stuff. And the one time that I've taken it, I forgot to send the link, which is probably the most important thing. So,
how are you, Foti?
I'm glad that I just went on LinkedIn and saw it.
I'm good.
Whereabouts are you based? Are you in the UK?
No, I'm in Greece.
Oh, you're in Greece. Yeah, okay. Sweet. Well, we did, just before you joined, we did a little bit of a overview of Growth Mentor, but we probably didn't do it as the amount of justice that you obviously can. So for anyone that isn't listening, that hasn't heard of it, which I think is probably not going to be many people because we've had lots of wonderful guests that are, I dare say the word celebrities on the platform, maybe Rosie and Daphne and Marcus. But yeah, if you want to give an overview of Growth Mentor as a platform, and then we can get into like how it was started after that. But for anyone that doesn't know, take it away.
For sure. So I'll give the most functional answer I can give. So it's a platform where you can book calls one-on-one with vetted growth marketing products, just startup people, and just chat and talk through your challenges, get different ideas, inspiration, benchmark your own understanding of topics, and hopefully leave the call feeling a little bit smarter than you were when you entered it.
Amazing. And nice. You yourself are from a growth background, right? You 15 years growth lead before starting the company?
Yeah. So I was the first marketing hire for EuroVPS, which is a managed hosting provider. I joined back in 2007, right out of uni, and taught myself marketing and all that stuff. And yeah, like 10 years after I joined EuroVPS, that's when I decided to build Growth Mentor, because it's kind of like one of those scratch your own itch kind of situations, right? Just didn't really have that many people to chat to about growth at a high level. And the people that were open to talk about it were charging $300 an hour. This was back in 2015, 16, 17, you know. And yeah, I was like, this has got to be a better way for like normal people.
That's cheap back then, because there's some platforms that exist now. I think the latest one I've seen is called Intro.
Yeah, Intro.
Man, the prices on that is crazy. 15 minutes? No, it breaks down by 15 minutes. I think the shortest to get talked on is 15 minutes for $1,000, and I'm like, what? Like, who books 15 minutes or 30 minutes for like, you know, $2,000?
Calls. You get like the intro, hi, my name is, and what's your name?
Exactly.
Like, that's it, right?
Like, do you know, there's a funny thing that happened. It was a few weeks ago, but I sometimes engage with, I'm sure you know the guy Nikita Beer on Twitter, and he's on Intro, and obviously he's got a pretty amazing track record. And I think I took the piece at one of his tweets, and one of the reply that he gave me was, I don't reply to people that charge less than me on Intro. And I was like, oh, this motherfucker.
Yeah, that's the exact sort of vibe that we don't allow on Growth Mentor, right? So if you are one of the, we call them heads, you know, like just like, oh, my head is like, so, you know, like that's just completely unacceptable, because one of our core values is literally humility. If you go on our About Us page, like intellectual humility, like nobody knows everything. And like, if you think you know everything, then like you have problems. Like, because the more you know, like the more you realize you know absolutely nothing. Like, there's just so much more.
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So looking at when you started that out, just so I understand correctly, was the initial vision a platform where you, as a growth specialist, could kind of talk with other growth specialists and bounce ideas around? And then did it kind of switch into being a marketplace, or was it always the idea of it being like a hub to find a growth specialist?
Yeah, it was always the marketplace sort of idea, right? So like, just some background on how, like, from a product perspective, this came to be. My wife, she teaches English, used to at least, teaches English online. She was one of the first users on the tutor side from italki.com, which is like one of the biggest language platforms. And she was doing like, fuck man, like 6 hours a day on calls, and the platform was rad. Like I was looking at it for years. I was like, wow, you know, like there are people just booking calls with you, and you're just having chats and talking. And then like at one point, like I was like, you know, because I had the idea of Growth Mentor after like randomly, like something happened. It doesn't matter. Like, but just like looking at that platform from a product perspective, I was like, just change. Learn Italian, Russian, this, that, and just like replace with, you know, product market fits, PPC, like boom. And from a product perspective, like it's quite similar. It's functionally doing the same job. But yeah, it was always a marketplace concept, going back to your original question. And it was always sort of like, let's find people that like actually enjoy talking about this stuff, right? And aren't just like only thinking about, you know, how can I make $100 during this call? Right? That's
yeah, that's nice. And the kind of the building of a marketplace is always, from, you know, day zero, is probably one of the most difficult things you can do.
Yeah.
Where did you start with that classic chicken and egg problem? Did you already have a network of mentors that you just got on there, or how did you kind of overcome that?
So when I started, I don't even think I had a LinkedIn profile. Like, I had no network. I'm one of those guys who just likes to work and just doesn't really care what anyone else does, and just like I like the execution, you know. So like I really wasn't in LinkedIn world and all that stuff, so like it was kind of tough. But what I did, to answer your question, like I just made a little silly landing page using Twitter Bootstrap, you know, just made it just pure HTML, threw it up on SFTP, boom, and just drove a couple hundred bucks of Google Ads traffic to it. I lied. I said I had all the people in there. I put some, you know, Neil Patel's head and some guys. I was like, yeah, join the platform. And yeah, the lead would come through. And the thing was like, hey, you know, to get early access, jump on this call with me, you know, so I can like hook you up and understand like who to match you with. So I did that like 2 months of validation. I did like 50 calls and I'm like, all right, this can be huge. And then I just decided to build it out and hired a dev team in Poland, made the wireframes myself, worked with my product designer for a month to like make it high fidelity, make clickable prototypes, flew to Poland, showed it to them, got the estimate, signed the contract. And then 6 months later, we launched the MVP.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And all those first 50 exploratory calls, I'm guessing, were matched up with you as their growth mentor.
Well, I didn't even do a mentor call with them. I just wanted to understand like what
the demand.
What they want, and like just let them know, yeah, we'll get back to you when we launch it. It's like
that's great. Okay, cool. And then so after once you had the product, at least people could see it. That was easier than to acquire mentors onto it, I'm assuming.
It was so much easier because what I would do is I would send cold emails out to people that I thought would be great fits and like just explain like, look, we're in private beta right now. And I sent them a link to the Envision app to see the actual clickable prototype because I just wanted them to know that like I was like not just wasting time, like I'm legit, I have this thing, I built it out, like we're building it. And then like once I get them on the call, I would then like do a screen share and go on staging and just show them like the application as it's being built and onboard them on the spot at that point, right? So like once we launched, like we already had a pool of 30 mentors on there.
Amazing.
That's great. The kind of Airbnb method of signing them onto it during the kind of sales process.
Yeah.
Do the demo and then you interested, like get you build your profile out right now. Amazing. And so that was 5 years ago. Is that right?
Five years ago. We launched September. So like a little bit more, but yeah.
And can you share any, or give us or the audience an idea of that, how that growth trajectory has been, how it's going from then to now?
Sure. Yeah. So we currently do around 1500 calls a month. We've got 650 mentors or so, which I never really like to brag about the numbers of the mentors because we take a very quality over quantity approach. Like if I wanted to, I could have easily had 5,000 mentors based on the people that are applying, but the vetting process is quite stringent. And then in terms of like the mentee community, like it's around 1,000 paying subscribers at the moment that are part of the community.
In terms of kind of leakage off the platform, how do you guys handle that? So if someone takes a call with a mentor and then the mentor's like, hey, you just hit me up on, here's my phone number. Is that a problem for you guys or?
No.
From a marketplace background for me and Yo, that is a big problem of working in marketplace.
The thing is like, we're very unique in the sense that most, like money is not really the primary motivator for the mentors. So like, there's absolutely no incentive for them to go off platform because they're already doing the call for free on Growth Mentor for the most part, 95% of all
stuff is
free. So it's like, why lose that review? You know, because the reviews are part of our gamification structure over here. So like if you get 100 reviews on Growth Mentor, we actually will buy a ticket and fly you to Greece and, you know, 3 nights a hotel as well. And, you know, hang out with you.
I saw that trip. There was a few people there. I was like, damn, that is good. Maybe we should be on that.
So and there's different little incentives as well below, and you know, also like the referral program, like if you hit 100 reviews there's a 60% rev share like for the program, and 50% rev share if you're a Nebuchadnezzar, which is basically 50 reviews. So there's very little in that. Like mentors will reach out to me and like send screenshots of people saying on LinkedIn, hey, I saw you on Growth Mentor, can you book a call? And they're like, look at this guy. And they're like, yeah, and I sent him my link on Growth Mentor and said I only do free calls. So it's like this sort of, you know, understanding that, you know, if you want to, like, this is my place to like give back and help. Like if you want to talk to me off Growth Mentor, my rate's $250 an hour. And I take minimum 10-hour blocks. Right. So like that's general sort of vibe.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I'm assuming that most of the mentors anyway are understand the importance of like personal brand, and they're probably already active on LinkedIn. So therefore having another platform where they have a visibility is great. And was that gamification part from the early days, or is that something you introduced to increase kind of cadence and retention?
It started around a year after we launched, like four years later. I think me and Jessica, my wife, were just sitting on our balcony, just brainstorming what different ranks we can call them. And like, there was the classic sort of like bronze, silver, gold. And it was like, that's so boring. Like, everyone has no like soul. You know? And then like, yeah. I don't remember who thought of the idea, but different bottles of wines, like they have these rad names, like Balthazar is like 6 liters and Nebuchadnezzar is like 12. And there's this bottle with 100 liters of champagne inside called a Midas. And that cost $100,000 to buy that. So I was like, oh shit, that's 100 reviews, 100 liters, boom, that's the Midas. And then we just work our way back. Magnum is the 10 reviews. So it's, yeah, you know, we like to have fun with everything that we do.
And has anyone hit that Midas rank yet?
Like 30 people.
Okay. You need to get the next one up then.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Like, if anyone has any ideas for like what would be like the next rank, like I have 300 some reviews, and some people have like 250. They're trailing behind me, right? So like, I think maybe the next milestone would be like 500, or like maybe 1,000. I don't know. Like in 2030.
That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah, you're gonna have to just keep increasing that for infinitely for the next 10, 15 years. Amazing. Sorry, yeah, I've kind of gone ahead. Did you have any other questions for me?
Yeah, you touched on, sorry, there's some banging. I don't know if you can hear on my mic. I hope you can't. But you touch on the vetting process, which I think is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So you go for quality over quantity. Like you said, you could have gone 5,000 plus mentors easy by that point after 5 years. What is the, can you walk us through like the process of being vetted on the platform? I find it very interesting.
So step one is you fill out an application form, and that application form is, I think it's long, but a lot of the mentors that do it, they're like, that wasn't that long. That was fun actually, because it was, you know, I like to see that you were actually asking, you know, smart questions. So we ask a bunch of questions there that make them kind of like express their full intellectual capabilities. Like, for example, what, describe an out of the box idea you thought of that made you proud of yourself, or like, you know, what are some of the main motivators to join? What's an ideal mentee persona? Like stuff like that. And obviously we'll look at their LinkedIn. We'll batch review it, me and Jessica, so that there's no bias. Obviously there is some bias, but then we jump on an interview call, and I just kind of get the vibe. I do the vibe check there, you know, like what I always like to think is, could I survive on a transatlantic flight with you sitting next to you? Would we be chatting, or like, would I like want to, you know, escape? There's mentorship is a very personal thing. Like, even if, you know, they might not be the best Facebook ads person, but like they're really good holistically understanding systems thinking, and, you know, and like, and they have a very good personality and vibe, and they're just warm people, you know, like that for me is really important, that warmth and genuine sort of, like excitement to help people out, you know, and share their knowledge.
Yeah.
As opposed to just getting tools,
you know? Amazing. Yeah. That sounds good.
What's the kind of acceptance rate of that? Of the whole process, and where is the biggest drop off? Is it, do you find that it's when people get to the vibe check, that's when you're like, oh damn, I had high expectations? And
it's usually on the application. So it's, yeah, I mean, there's if I see you use ChatGPT, then instant like X. You're like, if your LinkedIn profile reads like growth advisor, consultant, board member, like instant rejection. You know, like we look for people that are actually like not that far removed from having, you know, real human jobs and actually have done stuff. That's really important that you're not just like a thought leader or like a TED talk.
That's like the perfect segue into this other point I've got down here to talk about. The other day you put a post up, which I thought was really cool, about a good leader needs to be in the weeds.
Yeah.
And needs to be like fighting on the front line with their troops. And it's something that we have spoken about a lot with various people on this pod. And the people that we talk to are typically people that are in the weeds doing it on the day to day. There's so many other podcasts you can go and listen to, someone who just comes in, flies in, and does strategy at a high level.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just talk about that for a bit. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that's just a quality of any good leader, is that they need to be still in the weeds? Do you think there comes a point when you naturally kind of have to get out of that?
Yeah.
Just general thoughts on that.
Okay. So disclaimer, I'm just a guy in a chair with an opinion, and nothing I say really matters, right? But what I will say is from a perspective of somebody who's taken a company from, you know, basically like zero to a million, right? So like from that, I've never done the whole like one to 10, or like there's some crazy people out there that have scaled like ridiculous. Like I'm just that, you know, early stage growth guy who's kind of like figured that out, right? And I think if you're in that position, then yeah, hell yeah, you know, you definitely have to be doing the work, right? And I guess it's I'm also a little bit biased because my background is growth, and I was doing, you know, all manner of execution in marketing for years before starting Growth Hunter. So for me, it comes naturally, right? So like, you know, I could jump in with my team and be like, all right, yo, like this is going really slow for you. I know I assigned to you to do all the PPC campaigns, but like this literally happened last week, which kind of inspired the post on LinkedIn, which I'm working with Ash. You know, he's been responsible for the last couple of weeks to set up a creative testing framework for Facebook ads. And I also threw in LinkedIn ads for him, but you know, he was just taking too long because it was quite a bit of work. And I was like, I'll jump in. I got LinkedIn ads, you know, and I just jumped in on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, knocked that out. You know, I used a lot of his creatives, used his own sort of like, you know, framework in the back, but I helped him, you know, I think that your team really respects you when you're actually in there and you're like, all right, well, how can I be a servant leader and help you out, help you save time so that you can focus on, you know, more high impact things and we can all grow together. You know, I really do believe that you got to be in the weeds. From that own, like that camaraderie thing, like it just strengthens the bond of the team.
Yeah. It's your credibility as well. When you're at that stage, you can't be too remote from what's happening. It's funny because we're saying being in the weeds, and one of the first episodes of this podcast, there was the other expression from one of the guests, Cody Schneider from in the US, who's saying in the pit. You have to be in the pit, and since then he actually started his podcast that is actually called In the Pit with Cody Schneider. So it's a theme that comes back very often in a podcast. I'm wondering when that becomes untrue. I don't know really at what stage do we move out of that. If it's just a matter of like direct reports or, you know, founding rounds for a company. I don't know what the criteria is, but it's definitely a point where that type of profile do not fit with the company anymore, and that's where you kind of like there is like this a little bit like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, the skin shed, and there's like new people coming in, and they don't necessarily fit that profile anymore. Do you have any thoughts on now when that happens, or if you saw that from other company or yourself directly?
I don't know. I guess like I would imagine that like if your team just ends up being better than you, or maybe not even better, but like 80%, just leave them alone, you know, and just like go fight another battle. But like, I still think that you should be like doing things like nitty gritty. It might not be the same thing you were doing before. I feel like if you like something a lot, then that's a problem. Like you're too comfortable and you probably shouldn't be doing that anymore. That's another sort of like little
realistic. One thing I was thinking recently is that even if you're in, let's say, like a big corporation and you've got, I don't know, 10 direct reports and a team of 100 people, 70 people in total, with all the layers that you can imagine, maybe like having a side project is your way of doing it, because obviously you can't do it in your day-to-day, but having something on the side that keeps you sharp is maybe the way to keep doing that, whether it's having your own Etsy store or like whatever, you know, side project or podcast or something like that, you know, like just to try things on your own. Maybe that's the way.
Or mentor, or start mentoring people so that you can get into other people's weeds and see how other people are like, you know, solving problems.
Nice.
That's a big reason why mentors love it, right? Because it's like, it's mental gymnastics. You know, you like parachute into the battlefield of some other guy's startup for like half an hour. And then at the end of that half an hour, like, whoosh, you're out, right? And you don't have to deal with any of the problems. So it's kind of fun.
I love this.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a quick game of COD, isn't it? You just want to have like a growth battle and then dip out. We had a chat with Daniel on the podcast that came out on Tuesday. And we're talking about the benefits of working with an agency and working at an agency. And some of the things you said there kind of resonate with that in that you can be, when you're in-house, you can get super comfortable with just what you're doing and on the kind of hamster wheel and not challenging yourself. And being an agency means that you're forced to work on projects that are outside. And it sounds exactly the same as this. I'm sure a lot of the mentors, as you say, just love the buzz, I guess, maybe the slight anxiety or fear of like joining a call with somebody, you have no idea what they're going to ask you, or you don't know if you're going to be able to help them in any way. You know, the mental gymnastics definitely makes sense there. You are obviously sitting on a decent amount of data specifically around what people's pain points are. I wonder if you could share anything, or if you've got any things about what are the kind of common growth problems that come up again and again. Yeah. What is it that people are struggling with, maybe in general, or also specifically to, you know, the last kind of 6 months?
Yeah. So one of the biggest themes that comes up is just channel prioritization. You know, what do I invest in? Like, do I start planting the seeds of SEO today? Should I focus more on colds, but colds supposedly doesn't work anymore because everyone's doing an AI. So like, there's all of these different questions, because now with AI, like, everything has changed, right? So every single course that exists on the planet before AI is now officially outdated, right? So all of the blog posts as well, like and people are really confused right now. It's like, do I lean into this? But what about the cringe, you know, of like, clearly having AI created correspondences, like, that's not cool. And a lot of people are very conscious about that. They're not sure. So, you know, that's the overarching theme is prioritization, right? Channel prioritization, or not even channel, like, how do I decide what to do next in general? Or like, is it okay enough? Or like, so like, a lot of these things are just about getting validation, in a sense. Like, people will have their ideas, right? But I think that we attract the type of people that like to be challenged and have that intellectual humility that I was mentioning earlier. It's like, look, I don't know everything, and I know that somebody else, you know, might have a different perspective. I'm kind of down to hearing that, right? So like, that's a big topic. And then more like in the weeds, there's a lot of calls about PPC across all different channels. Because there's like a million different ways to do it. And like, everyone, all the gurus on YouTube, like, are really like convinced that they can take you to seven figures if you buy their book, right? You know what I mean? Or like, their course. But it's like, well, this, everyone's like got their own thing. Like, should I go broad? Should I, like, you know, Advantage Plus with audience? Like, there's all these different, you know, ways you can go about it. And like, just actually talking to another operator who's actually doing it, I think that's pretty therapeutic for other people. But I mean, it's very diverse. Like, I tried to make a little pie chart, like, showing the topics that are booked, and it's like insane. It's so split, like, into, you know, and there's also a lot of like the mental health elements as well, because it's always been like that with Growth Mentor, but even now a little bit more than before, because, like, you know, you have to work two times as hard and, you know, two times as smart to make the same that you did, you know, 3 years ago, right? So it can beat on your confidence.
Definitely. And so that is almost a category that people would connect over,
dealing with those struggles. Mindset coaching,
Okay.
And that is between mentors, or is it works the same way, or is it mentors to mentors?
Mentors also book calls with other mentors. That's really common. That's another perk, by the way, of being a mentor. You get free for life access to Growth Mentor as a mentee, so you can use it. But I mean, mostly it's just like mentees booking calls with mentors, like for those sort of soft topics. Yeah,
it must be a nightmare to be a founder or solopreneur now, and you think, got the idea of my product, and you've built it. You're like, right, now I need to work out how I'm going to market this thing. That's cool. I'm just going to go online. I'm going to watch a few YouTube videos, read a few blogs, and have a framework of what people do. And then after 5 minutes, you're like, holy shit, there's like a million frameworks and a million opinions. And should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Everything that you've just said. Yeah. And even for us, we've spoken before, you know, you've been running ads on Meta for like 13 years or whatever. You still sit down and you're like, oh shit, am I doing this in the right framework? And then you go off and you start Googling, and there's like 600 different things. The whole industry is just ridiculously confusing, and self-doubt is like crippling sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, self-doubt is the biggest thing that we see people coming here with, you know, and that's the biggest reason why I created Growth Onshore, because I had crazy self-doubt and imposter syndrome. What I realized, because what I would do before starting Growth Onshore, I'd go on Upwork and just like hire freelancers to talk to them. And they'd be like, don't you want me to do anything? And I'm like, no, man, just like have a chat, you know? And
I think you're scamming them. They're like, how can this be easy money?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I just want to talk to you. I really did it a lot with PPC, because I'm a historically like a content organic SEO kind of guy, right? And then like I had to start expanding channels because just things were getting competitive. So yeah, like instead of I would just set up all the campaigns and just put them on pause and just like jump on a call and be like, yo, I've done all the work. I just want to like show you like here, like, you know, I'm not going to ask you stupid questions. Like, I've done everything, right? Just tell me what you think. And they would tell me like in the beginning, like the first call I did it like that, the guy was like, oh my God, this is really good. What's your problem? Like, why are you all like anxious and shit? And I'm like, okay, thanks. Like that. And then I just in it and I was like, and like instantly, like my confidence boosted by like, you know, a factor fold of I don't know what, right? And like me, that's the big benefit of just like being able to benchmark what you know against other people. Because I think so many times we underestimate like how much we already know. And if you talk to someone else who's actually doing it at a different company, different industry, and like you realize, oh shit, I actually like knew more than that person, you know? And it's all right, what am I doing? Like being all like, you know, anxious. Let's go.
Yeah, that is great. That is great.
That's amazing. I'm convinced now. I've been doing that on and off when with some of the people that we mentioned, some of the people that are on your platform, obviously, but it'll be cool to I understand the gamification wrapper around it, like that's quite fun, and get matched to also companies. One of the questions I had is are most of the mentors freelancers, or do you also get, is there a good mix of people who are actually also full-time in their company?
We have a lot of mostly it's full-time, and I do try and prioritize full-time as opposed to freelance consultants, just because there's less conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And the calls tend to, you know, not have, it's just a less risk of mentees getting pitched, and it's less of a temptation as well, right? And I think that people that are actually working at companies, you know, they have like that, they have the ability to empathize with other people working at companies as well, as opposed like freelancers are kind of like, you know, it's tough to be a freelancer consultant and you know, have a potential lead right in front of you and refrained from pitching them, right? So like I don't
yeah that's true. I bet there's so many sales teams around the world that are like, we need to just like get onto Growth Mentor as a
you know, Twilight that movie where like crazy the vampires, like they're like, oh yeah. I want to go. No.
Did you get someone, did you get the same person coming, but like disguised as a different person to like at the interview with you, with like one time with a mustache, another wig, and be like, yeah. No, I'm not the same person trying to get inside.
I've had this
LinkedIn profile created one day ago.
I have a couple people that like applied like so many times, and it's just, yeah. One guy has applied like 25 times, and I told him like, no. Back and I'm like, dude, what am I?
Yeah, we said
at least he's plucky.
We said we wouldn't talk about that today. No, I'm kidding. It's not me.
Yeah, you embarrassed yourself. One thing that was really nice that you said just then, Foti, was the fact that people, that the mentees are open to being challenged. And I feel like I'm always saying this sentence, but something we speak about quite often is it's very difficult to work with, not always, but we have had experience, and a lot of people have had experience working with like a CEO or a founder or early stage team that want to hire in, but they don't really want to be challenged. And when you get the difficult conversations where it's like, you know, I don't think we're actually ready to grow this thing yet. These are the factors we need to work on, this, that, and the other, and they don't want to hear that. So it makes complete sense that as a company that's signed up to something like Growth Mentor, you openly want that feedback. So like as a mentor, you know that you're going to tell them something and they are going to take it on board, and they're not just going to be like, okay, yeah, cool, Jake says this, but
yeah,
doing what I want to do.
No, yeah, that's really nice.
And is that something that is kind of reflected in the retention of mentees? So do you find that they come and they stay for a long time?
I wish they stayed for longer, but that was the nature of the beast. You know, it's at the end of the day, this is like an ed tech. And I find that we have very similar usage patterns to that of a gym. So people come in with the best of intentions, like I want to grow and be better at marketing and my startup and be more wise. And like they book some calls, and obviously this is not like reflective of everybody, but there is a large cohort that acts like this. And then they realize, oh wow, like this is actually a lot of work. Actually jump the call, prepare, take notes, actually do the work afterwards, and you know, after a quarter they'll churn out just due to inertia itself, right? But but there's a lot of people that have stayed for multiple years and they absolutely love it, and it's just embedded, it's just a part of their habit right now.
And the monetization happen, as I understand, only on the company side. As a is it a monthly fee or yearly fee? How do you?
It's a quarterly or annual fee. So we used to have monthly. We just switched over a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
And have you seen that? That's had a. How is that? It's an interesting growth experiment, right?
We've been experimenting for like years with this. So we've done monthly numerous times, quarterly numerous times, played with pricing and so on and so on, and it's like. All right, now we basically just went back to the pricing we had in 2021, which kind of worked the best and was actually easily accessible to people. Because like the last thing I want to do is like do revenue gouging, revenue maximization, and be like, all right, how can I get us, you know, do the Van Westendorp and find the ideal price? Like, all right, well, this seems like a good price. It's affordable to people. And then what we do for a feedback loop, we just look at the cancellations Slack channel where they cancel and they give the reason why. And like the last couple of months, like we've been seeing so many cancellations. Like it's, my business is not doing well. And, I don't use it enough. And this, so like we can see the reverberations from this depression, and it's kind of affecting us. So, you know, logical thing for us at least was to just lower the price a bit, and make it more accessible.
That makes sense. Do you see the? I was gonna ask about that. So it's a good segue. You see cancellations because times are tough and it's hard to raise. It's never been that hard in the last, I don't know, 10 years plus. But do you see the counterpart, which is marketing teams or growth teams needs to be lean, super lean, the most lean they've ever been. Like you said earlier, they need to make like twice the results with, you know, half the resources. So do you see also like maybe a pool towards growth mentor at the same time, because that would be one of the solution for them to get like quick answers for maybe a more affordable price than having a full-time employee?
For sure there's a lot of companies that are joining for that reason. Like they would consider maybe hiring a fractional person, but you know, they just want to kind of like test different people out, and then if there's a connection with one of the mentors, they can take it to the next level and hire them off. So like a lot of people actually use growth just for headhunting, which is kind of cool.
Are you gonna thinking about how you guys can take a cut of that future?
Guys, like I built the product design, the full mock-up on Figma for this extension of it. And then 3 months ago, I pivoted to basically just building it out on WordPress. We're going to launch it in a couple of weeks as a test to see what's happening. But it's basically going to be like a fractional marketplace to hire growth people. But with the catch that it's 0% commission, we're not going to monetize on that. We actually are not really sure exactly how we're going to monetize on that. My philosophy is you just, you know, solve the problem first, do a couple of cycles, do like 10, 20 cycles that, and prove that you can, you know, actually like deliver. And then you're going to have such a better idea of how to monetize at that point. So like, why even waste the time right now? Like to even think about it, just solve the problem and do it in a very clean, you know, beautiful, like good UX kind of way. And that's what I'm focusing on.
Yeah,
that's the social media clip for this episode right there.
Right.
Put a pin on that one. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because I'm guessing like the recruitment side of things. I mean, that's what recruitment is. Recruitment as an industry, like that's where the money is. Like you can make big fat fees for placing like a head of growth or that kind of role in a company as a one off kind of fee to you. But I don't want to do that though.
Like because then the thing is, if I take $1 in commission, then the person who hired that person, if they're not satisfied, they're going to come to me and be like, yo, what's up with this guy here? You know, and I have to be that middleman. And I don't want to know the mentors like that, you know, and be like, yo, John, yo, Jake, this guy didn't do, you know, he's not happy. I don't want to have these awkward conversations.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'm trying to find another way to monetize, which is not taking a cut. And just, I like to be a matchmaker. You know, I just want to be the keeper. Like, yo, here, talk to this person here that's perfect for you.
Very interesting. Yeah, you don't want that founder coming back to you and saying like, we didn't get those 10,000 users that I was promised.
Yeah. We didn't go viral. Yeah,
it's your fault. Yeah.
Has it naturally been in this kind of matchmaker role? And you said before, I don't know, this might not be true of you, but you said you weren't big on LinkedIn. I wonder if you were kind of big on personal networking, and if not, has this changed? And do you find yourself now just being like drawn to networking with people like crazy?
No, I wasn't networking or doing anything before. I was just like fully, I was in the data center setting up servers, like, you know, just doing all weird things no one could ever really imagine that I was doing, but taking Linux courses. Now I don't like, I'm a natural introvert, I would say, but like growth mentor gets the extrovert out of me. So it's like a different side. And I absolutely love, the favorite part of my job is just the mentor interviews. Every single mentor that's joined the platform has gone through it. They jumped on a 15-minute call with me and just chatting shit, you know, like you guys are doing. I'm sure you're having fun enjoying these podcasts, learning a bunch of things in at the same time as creating content and, you know, promoting your personal brands. So like I'm a very big proponent of like finding like high leverage activities where you do one thing and you get like eight out in your layered ways that compound unusually against each other. So like that's what the mentor interviews are doing, and because you build the relationship. And I think that's the most important thing of building a strong community is that you actually have real human relationships, right? You can't do that by signing up to a LinkedIn automation tool. Like it's you have to put in the work for that.
Yeah, definitely. Totally.
Yeah, it's that word community again, right? And it's like, this is a community. A lot of people say they build a community or they've built a community around their product. But, you know, in this instance, you guys have built a community of both mentors and mentees. And I'm assuming a lot of these people, I know you guys do your meetups and things. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's probably relationships that have spun off
I mean, there's been times where co-founder relationships have been formed off of the back of growth mentor calls, like numerous times. We have two podcast episodes about that. You guys can check it out. Growth Mentor, it's called Passing the Torch. That's our series.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Nice. But I think like where I'm really excited right now is now that we've already built the community and it's quite strong, it's like, how can I leverage our, let's call it community clout, to do more, like better reach out to other companies that potentially fit our ICP and somehow create a win-win relationship and which can have a byproduct of content or, you know, some sort of a strategic partnership. And that's something that we're experimenting with right now. It's this new playbook that I created called Growth Journalism. So what we'll do is we'll just put the journalism hat on and just reach out to companies that we think are really awesome and just do stories on them, jump on calls, interview them. Just takes 15, 20 minutes, transcribe it using AI, you know, we have a team of copy editors that make it nice and beautiful afterwards and promote it. They share it. Like in the last week, like we've had 12 random startups that we feature just sharing their post on social, right? You're like, oh my God, we were featured on Growth Mentor as a top startup in Amsterdam or whatever, right? And we just have all the top cities and just go on Crunchbase, find like the really cool ones that we like, and just reach out and say, hey, you know, we want to get your story. Afterwards, we give them their entire team a free call on Growth Mentor if they want to try it out. So that's kind of the play, because I don't like doing cold outbound, cold email. Like, it just feels a bit like I just feel dirty when I do it, like, straight up, right? So, like, I'm trying to find other ways to do cold email that has much higher reply rates. And I'm getting like 30-40% reply rates on these emails. It's insane.
That's amazing.
So just build up the content. And the way I see it, like, hey, you know, even if they don't buy, like, I still have a rad piece of content.
And it's
primary data.
That's your SEO background as well. Seeing the benefit of all that content. That's great. I love that. That's it's cool. I think should be more of an emphasis on, when you're doing cold outbound, it's like, not just what can we get from you, but what can we offer you to show some value to you, and then therefore it might give you a bit of positive favor towards us, and then we can work together. And I haven't really seen, it's normally always just like, the only thing I'm ever get offered is like a coffee, or and I send you like a $2 Amazon voucher or something. It's like,
it's so much easier if you find a way to just give something that they actually care about, right? That's my favorite thing of the quarter, the growth journalism. That's what I'm trying to.
Nice. I like the term.
It's very nice.
You know how, like, everyone put the growth in front? Like, there's growth marketers, growth product managers, growth engineers, like, growth designers. There's no, how, the journalists were the last one. They still haven't done it, right? So, like,
Yeah,
that's cool.
They deserve it.
Someone's job title soon. The job title will be growth journalist. And maybe that can be yours. Just to pick up on that, what is the current growth mentor ICP, or multiple ICPs, but who do you see on the mentee side, who is the ICP?
Oh, on the mentee side?
Yeah.
So 65% of our user base are startup founders, mostly in tech. I'd say SaaS is probably the biggest industry, but there's such a long tail of, like, fintech, prop tech, marketplace, sex tech, health tech. Like, it's all over the place, right? So it's like, it's founders are primarily, like, the ones, and which is interesting, because when I started Growth Mentor, I thought it was going to be marketers, like, I guess there's less of a fire under the ass, as with the founders, like, they, you know, might have mortgaged their house, and the marketers are just, like, getting their salaries. So, like,
yeah, that's true. And there's ego involved, right? It's like, if the founder comes and says, oh, I've signed up to Growth Mentor, and you can talk to someone, you're like, hang on, I'm supposed to be doing your growth at this company. And I mean, that's where you can see the value, right? And just speaking with other people that are doing the same thing. And if people can't get that, then you can't really help them. In terms of, like, growth levers, for, we get quite meta now, it's like, how do you grow a growth mentor? But what's the biggest lever that you found, or that you guys, that you found for getting that growth for the platform?
It's a term I call vibe loops, right? So it's a twist on growth loops. So it's just the output of every session usually results in a review, right, on that mentor's profile page. And then they like to share said reviews on LinkedIn. They like to add that they're a mentor on Growth Mentor on their LinkedIn profile, so then everyone gets notified. There's a lot of these little micro loops that we built into the product experience, which definitely help get that sort of, shall we say, virality going on. But then in terms of your more classical sort of how do we grow, it's like SEO is, you know, we rank number one for startup mentor, right? And, like, really high all different variations of the term mentor that have some sort of, you know, business related twist to it. And I've experimented relentlessly with PPC, and it's still like I've never been able to crack it. Hopefully that's going to change in 2024, but I kind of find it unlikely. But eternally optimistic, right? That's kind of like how we have to be.
You're in the perfect position to find someone to help you crack that.
Yeah.
I actually hired one of the mentees, two of them in the last month I've known them for 4 years. That's the best part about, like, being in my position. Like, you have this huge community from both sides, right? And it's like you hire from within, and they totally get the whole, like, product and the vibe and what we're trying to go for here.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your questions, like, it's usually, like, mostly just SEO and just word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah, capturing the intent. What you mean by PPC is like trying to crack social networks. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like paid social and even Google search. Like we do get conversions for that, but like my issue is like I rank already quite high on organic, so I feel like I'm kind of wasting. Like I don't that incrementality is not really there for me. Like it's not obvious, which is why now I'm experimenting with broad match, which hurts my soul, you know, to like, you know, just
anyone.
No, it's broad targeting. Yeah, it's
broad
just
targeting. Yeah.
Broad targeting. Yeah. Like, that was considered the big noob mistake, you know, 10 years ago, right? Like,
if you exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like you put some interest not targeting in there. Like, what are you doing? Do you is it for the mentors or the mentees that you think you've got like a hunch that paid social would work, or you haven't tested that even?
Mentors, I actually stopped the application page. I put it on pause. So like we don't really need any help there. Like we have probably around 300 people apply every single month to join, and we'll board around 15, 20 of them. That's sorted. But the mentee side, that's what we're trying to experiment with for the different value propositions and so on. Because like we found that just saying, oh, startup mentor join, like that doesn't really do anything. You need to dig a little bit deeper into what are the actual like jobs to be done, the emotional sort of motivators behind that. And I found that works a lot better to communicate value props for Growth Venture, at least. I think for other products, it really depends on the product, right? But us, really, it's a very big emotional play behind it, right? Either they want to save face to their boss, or they want to like make it work because everyone told them that you wouldn't account to anything, and now I'm going to make this business. And you know, like there's a lot, there's a lot of stuff in the back baggage that you can kind of play with.
It reminds me, I worked for a bit with you guys, I think you know him, Yo, but Deepesh Mandalia, and he, one of his big things is like scaling small agencies and people that want to start an agency business. And something that he said that has kind of stuck with me is that people don't, in his experience, people don't start an agency to be an agency owner. People start an agency for the financial freedom that will come in 10 years when they've scaled the agency to a point where they can take a step back. And that's, you know, exactly your point, right? There's always that job to be done that is 6, 7, 8 levels deeper than come and hire a mentor today. But it's tricky. It's tricky to do, right?
I mean, it's not really that tricky. You just have to talk to your customers like a lot.
Well, yeah, true.
Just they'll literally tell you what they want. Like, I don't understand why people don't just ask, like, so what would you have clicked like if we were creating this? Like, just really just asking them straight up, because a lot of people say don't do the leading questions, really understand the motivation. You know, I don't agree with that. It's just like, just ask them what should we build.
Yeah, it's true. If you make it too, if you like take it back too far, nobody knows the answer to those questions. You have to be more specific. So it sounds like you have your Slack channel, where which is your reasons for canceling a sub, and so you have that information that comes in. I guess your churn survey, I suppose. What are the other points of research that you do to understand those needs and things like that?
The session request data, like we have extremely rich data that we collect just as a just by doing the reps, right? And then also I do a lot of calls with mentees myself as a mentor. So like they literally put calls with me and talk, and you know, the Slack community, it's 2,500 people in the Slack. So we have the Ask the Community channel and people are asking questions. So like there's a lot of different feedback loops that we have built in as well into the email flow. Like if they haven't, we have different traps. Like if you haven't booked a session in XYZ days, like, you know, tell us what's your problem and, you know, we can matchmake you manually. So we do a lot of things that don't scale at Growth Venture. I think people underestimate how much you can actually do. That's considered like, you know, dirty work. Like, oh, you haven't automated that. Oh, like,
I think talking to someone face to face
that obsessed with like automation and like how to save time. And it's like, dude, if you would have just done it yourself, like you would have saved all this time. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
One of the things that we mentioned recently around that is something that I get asked a lot is like, how do you solve the like the creator, like influencer side of things? How did you find people? Which tool did you use? And they go straight into the tools. They're like, you know, like which platform did you use? And I'm like, no, I scrolled TikTok, found someone, DM'd them on Instagram, and they replied to me. Like just like normal human interactions, you know, like just ask and they said yes, and then you know, we sent a contract and then that was done, you know? Like, and they were like, what? Like, yeah, just manual stuff, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, people can't believe when there's not tech involved. It's like the YouTube obsession, or you know, niche, I suppose, rather than obsession, with productivity and like productivity influencers. And I got sucked into that like last year, and I was watching all these videos, and it's like, oh, this is how you create your second brain in Notion, and super complex, and I'll never forget someone's birthday again, and have a reminder every 6 months. You say, oh, how's your wife's birthday? And I was like, it's getting weird now. Nobody really behaves like that. But in the end, it takes you so long to set this stuff up that you're like, I'm actually spending more time managing this. And my wife is, I got a few like smart bulbs and things like that, and there's always going wrong, and you're always like in the app like, oh, why is it not working? She's like, it's never been a problem with me getting up and just like flicking a light switch, so why are you trying to solve that problem with some kind of crazy automation? So you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
No, 100%. The Notion, I remember last year, I think, or 2 years ago, Notion was like, everyone was like jumping on, you know, the second so organized, so efficient. It's like, yeah, I know, but like, you make no money. Like, it's clearly not working. Like, the same thing I see with AI right now. You know, just even having chats with people in my own team, it's like, oh, I made this GPT bot, and it's gonna like automatically show me creatives and give me suggestions on cool topics because I've trained it on the. And I'm like, dude, our budget's like $100 a day. Like, how many creatives can we really even do? Like, max saturate like 3 or 4 of them. What are we doing? Like, I, you know, and have to have these hard conversations. But like, it's easy to really get enthralled with all of it, right? Like,
yeah.
I used to be like this early, like years ago, you know, just really obsessed with just every, you know, like organized, like having my own, you know, the really fancy naming conventions. And now I have a piece of paper and I have like the 1, 2, 3, like what are the 3 things I want to do today? Every day I wake up.
Yeah, exactly. A digital to-do list. I can never get a digital to-do list to work for me more than just writing it down on a piece of paper. And a digital calendar. The biggest thing, so there's a tangent to end the episode on. The biggest thing for me is, well, maybe not the biggest thing, it's probably an exaggeration, but a thing that I've discovered, there's a gap in the market, but I don't think it's particularly solvable, is that we in my household use a calendar that you just put on the wall and like write shit in. It's got all the kids' stuff in there and our stuff in there. And most of the time I don't look at it, and then I'm like, I don't know what we're doing, but it's all in there. And we don't use any digital calendars. But then when it comes to like arranging something like this podcast, it makes life really difficult, because Yo texts me, oh, can you do this day? And I'm like, oh, I'm not at home. I've got to go home and look at the calendar. Someone needs a calendar app where you scan it, or just a thing that you hang on the wall. It's like an Amazon e-ink thing. You can write on it, and it also syncs to your phone. I think that it would be brilliant.
That doesn't exist. I think, because they have those.
Not that I can find. Oh. You could probably like put an iPad on the wall and get like a calendar app. To be honest, it'd probably be solved if I really wanted to. They'd probably just go to show it's not actually a viable business idea. No one gives a shit enough. Right. On that note, we've come up against the hour, Fothi, so we won't take too much more of your time. But it was fantastic to chat, and there's so much value in this episode, so I hopefully you enjoyed talking with us.
It was great Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
And if anyone wants to, obviously they can go to Growth Mentor to find well, maybe not to become a mentor, but to become a mentee. And how else can people get in touch with you, or maybe they shouldn't?
LinkedIn is fine. Yeah, that's a good place, or my email, fothi@growthmentor.com.
brilliant. There we go.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
See you soon. Bye.
Cheers, man. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.